B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin. We're going to start on the second line from the top of the Omud. At the end of the previous sugya, we saw that the reason that, according to Reb Shimon, you're not allowed to carry a lamp whilst it's lit is not because we're afraid it's going to get extinguished, because according to Reb Shimon, that would not be an issue, as we saw on Daf Mem Vav. Rather, the problem is it's a basis, a base for the flame, and the flame itself is mukta. So we're now going to discuss more in the halachas of bosses. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Zeira, Omer Reb Asi, Omer Reb Yechanon. It was said in the name of Reb Yechanon, who said, Omer Reb Chanina, Omer Rebbe Rumainus. That was said in the name of Reb Chanina, who said in the name of Rebbe Rumainus. And he said as follows, Li hitir Rebbe letaltel machto ba'afra. Rebbe allowed me to carry the container of incense, even though it was carrying ashes. The ashes of the incense are mukta. Nonetheless, Rebbe allowed me to carry the container that was holding those ashes, even though the container would be a bosis for the ashes and should be mukta. Could Reb Yechanan have said this? Vatnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Noitel Adam Benoy, a person may carry his son v'even b'yodoy, even though his son is holding a stone, and that's because the son is not considered a base for the stone, since the son is so much more choshev, and he's so much the ikar, that the fact that he's holding a stone is negligible. Oy kalkola, he's allowed to carry a basket and a stone inside the basket. And it would seem that the basket is a basis, is a base for a stone. A stone is mukta. There's nothing mutter you can do with a stone. You can't do anything with a stone at all. It's mukta machmas gufay. So it should be asa. Where the Mishnah is talking about, the basket was full of other fruits. Besides for the other fruits, which are dovar hamutar, they are not mukta, there was also a stone there. So since it was a bosses for a dovar hamutar v'dovar ha'asur, one is allowed to carry it. Because the dovar hamutar is more valuable, and is an ikar, is the main part of what the basket is holding, and therefore we just disregard the stone. The Gemara says, Taimed isbe peri. The only reason you're allowed to carry the basket is because there are other fruits in it. Ho les bo peri. Loi, if there would be no other fruits, if there would just be a stone in the basket, it would be also to carry it. And this seems to contradict the ruling that Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rebbe, that Hitir letaltil machto ba'afra, that he was allowed to carry the container with ashes in it. Ishtoimim k'shay choda. The literal translation would be dumbfound, but he remained silent for a few moments to think about how to answer. V'omar, and he answered as follows. Hocha nami de'isbo kartin. When was it mutter to move the machto, the container with the ashes, when there was still little fragrance of incense left with the ashes on the container, and therefore this container is holding a dovah ha'osur, which is the ashes, and a dovah ha'mutar, which is these keratin, these little pieces of incense, of levoina, and therefore it was mutar, in the same way as one can carry a basket full of fruits if it also has a stone in it. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya, keratin beirebi, Micha Shiva, why do we allow a person to carry a basket with fruits and a stone? Because the fruits are choshev, and the stone is less choshev. And now you're explaining that Rebbe allowed us to take a container of ashes because there was a dovah hamutar, there was some keratin, some remnants of incense left in them. Those remnants had any chashivus whatsoever, to the extent that you could call it that was the ikka, and therefore you're allowed to move the whole machta, the whole shovel, with all the ashes? Are you going to suggest that even though Rebbe, who was a very rich person, for him these keratin were negligible? However, for a poor person they would have value, and therefore it's not mukta. Votanya, but we learnt contrary to that in the Braisa. Bigde aniim l'aniim, bigde ashirim l'ashirim. The clothes of the aniim the size of a clothes that's fit for an oni is a size that's going to be called a beggar to be mekabel tuma for an oni, not for an osher. And the clothes of an osher are for an osher. An oni, a typical clothes that's valuable for a poor person, is 3 by 3 etzbois, 3 fingers widths by 3 fingers widths. However, for an osher, for a rich person, is 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. Aval da'aniyim la'ashirim loy. For a rich person, a garment, a piece of material of 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois, is not called a garment. Here too, since in the home of Rebbe, the karatin are negligible, so why should one be allowed to carry the machta, even though it has some karatin on? It's a bosses for a dovar ha'osor, it has lots of ashes on, and the karatin are negligible, and therefore it should still be osa. Elo Omar Abaya, says Abaya, the reason he could move the machta was not because of the karatin. Midi dahava agraf shel rei. It's similar to a vessel holding excrement, and even though technically speaking it should be muktzah, however, since it's very repugnant, it's very ma'os, therefore one is allowed to move it on Shabbos. Omar Rav, shtei tshuva is bedava. I can give you 2 reasons that agraf shel rei, this vessel holding the excrement, it should be mutter to move it away, and it's not yet reason to allow us to move away this machta, this shovel holding the ashes. Chodah 1, graf sherei mois. A shovel or the vessel holding the excrement is very repugnant. However, the shovel holding the ashes are not so repugnant. It hasn't got the same horrible smell as excrement. V'hai loy mois, over here it's not so mois. V'oid, the second difference is, graf sherei migli. V'hai, michsi. The vessel holding the excrement is generally open and exposed, and therefore it's extremely horrible. The odor is very repugnant, and therefore you can take it away. But a typical spade or a vessel holding the ashes are typically covered, and therefore it's not so displeasing to the eye. And therefore you cannot bring proof from graf shel rei to the machto ba'afra. Says the Gemara, Elo Omar Rav. Rav is going to offer a 3rd explanation why they were allowed to move the machta with the afer, with the ashes. Ki avinon be Rav Nachman, when we were in the home of Rav Nachman, hava matal tilinon kenuno agav kitma. The kenuno was a vessel that was holding some extinguished coals, and they would bring these warm coals to the sorim to warm themselves up with. And even though they were holding ashes as well, but the ashes were not mukta because even before the onset of Shabbos, they intended to use these ashes for something that was allowed on Shabbos, for example, to cover some saliva if they would spit or something like that. And therefore, the ashes were not mukta. And since the ashes were not mukta, they could move this even though there were some broken pieces of wood that were clearly mukta, but since the kitma, the ashes, were dedicated to be used for something mutter on Shabbos, therefore it's similar to the basket that's carrying fruits together with the stone. So in the same way that in the home of Rav Nachman they could move these ashes because they had dedicated it before Shabbos to be used for something that's mutter, so too when Rebbe said they could move the machta together with the ashes, it's referring to a case where they had intended to use those ashes for something mutter, and therefore the ashes were not mukta, and therefore they were allowed to move it. Continues the Gemara, Meisvei. We're going to ask a question now. V'shovin she'em yesh bo shivrei psila she'osu leteltil. We know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept called mukta machmas mios, a lamp, even though it was not lit this Shabbos, since it's repugnant, nobody wants to do anything with it besides for light a lamp in it, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, it's mukta. Reb Shimon, however, does not hold of mukta machmas mios, and therefore the lamp is not mukta. However, he agrees that if there are remnants of a wick inside the lamp, then the lamp is a bosses, is a base holding the wicks, which are mukta. You cannot do anything with the remnants of a wicks, and therefore it should be. Reb Shimon also agrees that it's mukta. So now the Gemara is saying, how can you, Rav Nachman, say that you can move the remnants of the ashes that you had in mind to use for something mutter, even though there's also shivrei Eitzim Del, some broken pieces of wood on it. Over here also, in every lamp, besides for remnants of wicks, there's also going to be some oil. And since the oil is not mukta, why is the lamp not allowed to be moved? Because it's holding the remnants of the wicks. It's holding the remnants of the wicks together with the remnants of the oil. So it should not be mukta, according to Reb Shimon. So Omar Abaya Begelila Shanu. Abaya explains that over there its mukta is in Golil, when Golil wicks were very hard to come by, and therefore they had a tremendous value in chashivos, and since the main part of this kli, the main value of what's being held in this ner, in this lamp, are the wicks, therefore we don't say the main part is the oil, like the main part is the fruits, and just by the way there's a stone in it. And here we'll say the main part is the oil, by the way there's wicks. No, the wicks is the main part. Since the wicks are the main part, therefore it's a bosses for the wicks, which are mukta, and therefore in Golil one was not allowed to carry, even according to Reb Shimon, one would not be allowed to carry the lamp if it's holding some remnants of wicks. Continues the Gemara. We saw in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph regarding a menorah that's made of sections that one is not allowed to reassemble such a menorah on Shabbos, and if one does, or Yonta for that matter, and if one does, then he's chayev for creating a kli. It's not about binyan, it's not because he's building, ein binyan bekelim, it's that he's completing a kli, and that's also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We're going to discuss that here a little bit more. Says the Gemara, Levi bar Shmuel ashkechinu l'Rabbi Abba ul Rav Huna bar Chia. Levi bar Shmuel met Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna bar Chia to have a kaima pischa de Rav Huna. They were standing at the entrance of Rav Huna's homes. Omar luhu, he said as follows, Mahu lahachzir mito shel tarsiyim b'shabbos. The tarsiyim were the coppersmiths, and they had a type of bed that was typically disassembled, and every time they wanted to use it, they would reassemble it. The question is one allowed to reassemble such a bed on Shabbos? Omrulei, so Rab Abba and Rav Huna bar Chia responded, Shapir domi, it's muta, one is allowed to reassemble such a bed on Shabbos. Also lekamed Rav Yehuda, when he came in front of Rav Yehuda, and they asked the same question, Omar, he said that Rav and Shmuel both claimed, Hamachzer mitos shel tarsiyim, somebody who reassembles such a bed, the coppersmith's bed, mitos shel tarsiyim, on B'Shabbos, chayev chatos. Not only is it not muta, he's chayev chatos. Meisvei, the Gemara is now going to ask a question on Reb Abba and Rav Huna bar Chia. We learned in the Braisa, Hamachzir kono menorah b'Shabbos. If somebody reattaches the branch of a menorah on Shabbos, chayev chatos. He's chayev chatos. Kono sayodim. If he reattaches the branch of the plasterers would have a stick. At the end of the stick, they would put a cloth, and with that, they would plaster the walls. So when they were plastering low down, it would be a very short stick. As they wanted to plaster higher up, they would add on pieces, making it longer and longer, allowing them to reach higher and higher. So if somebody reattached or added on branches onto the stick of the plasterer, lo yachzer, he should not do it on Shabbos, vimhichzer, but if he did add on to such a stick on Shabbos, Potter aval osa, even though it's osa, his potter is not chayev, since this is a type of stick that by default you have to keep putting pieces in and out. It's not as if putting in the pieces, now it's a full kli, and before then it was not a proper kli. It's not called now it's assembled, rather sometimes you would use it with, sometimes without, therefore he's not chayev chatos, but nonetheless it's osa. Reb Simoi Oimir, Reb Simoi adds on a halacha, keren agula, a type of musical instrument that was a curved horn, and in order to assemble it, it would have to be very tightly fixed, and therefore it's a melocha, and therefore chayev, if you do it on Shabbos, he's chayev. Keren pshuto, however, a type of horn that's very simple and straight, it did not have to be tightly fixed, therefore, even though one shouldn't do it, if one did it, potter, one is potter, because one is only chayev if one takes two parts of a kli and one attaches it tightly. If it's just loosely attached, one will not be chayev, it's pota aval osa. So you see here clearly that to add in a branch of a menorah on Shabbos is chayev chatos. So how could Rab Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya say that to reassemble such a bed of the tarsim of the coppersmiths is muta on Shabbos? It should be similar to reassembling a menorah, and it should be chayev chatos, not muta. Answers the Gemara, inhu they, Rav Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya, they hold the Omur Kihai Tana. They hold like the following Tana. The Tana we learnt in the Braisa. Mal benois hamito, the sockets that are placed under the feet of a bed. Vekaris hamito, and the feet of a bed. Ulevochim shel sakivas, which is a little flat piece of wood attached to a bow in order to guide the arrow. Lo yachzer, one should not put these back in place. If they come out of, they move away, they should not be put back on Shabbos. Vim hechzer, if he did put them back, potter, he's going to be potter, even though he should not do it. Aval also, nonetheless, it's also v'lo yitka, but he should not fix it. He shouldn't tightly fix them. Vim toka, if he did fix them tightly, in that case, chayev chatos is going to be chayev. That means if you fix it tightly, is chiyuv chatos. If you fix it loosely, you should not do it. If you did it, potter aval also. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel oimer im hoya rofui muter. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says it's true that if you do it tightly, you'll be chayev. If you do it loosely, we don't say pot aval osa, we say it's muta. So Rab Huna Bar Chiya and Rab Abba, who said one is allowed to reassemble this bed, they held that the way to assemble this bed can be done loosely and doesn't have to be tightly fixed. And according to Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, that's muta. Continues the Gemara. Bei Rav Choma hava mito glal nisa. In the home of Rav Choma, there was a bed which was a mito glal nisa, which is similar to the mito of Tarsim. It was disassembled and could be reassembled. Hava mahadri lo b'yoy mitova. They would reassemble it on Yom Tov, even though to make a kli, to finish a kli on Yom Tov, is asa. Omele ahum rabbonon rova. My dadchi, the Chachomim asked Rava, why do you think that in the home of Rav Choma they did this? Why do you think it was muta? Are you going to say because binyan min hatzadhu? Because it's called doing it with the shinui. It's an unusual way to build a bed. Normally a bed is done by fixing the pieces together very tightly. And the fact that they put it together very loosely, it's not a usual way of assembling a bed. And therefore, since it's a melacha done in an unusual way, he won't be chayev. That the Gemara asks, Nehidi isura do'iraisa leka. It's true that it's not an isa do'iraisa because it's an unusual way of doing it. It's not a permanent way of fixing the bed. Isura drabonon mi'o'ika. However, it should be potter aval osa. Should be also drabonon. How could the home of Rab Choma allow that? Says the Gemara, Omale, Anok Rab Shimon ben Gamliel svirile. I hold like Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, as we saw at the beginning of the Omad, to Omar im hoya rofu yumutar. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says that to affix, to attach one part of a kli to another, one part of a bed to another, to assemble a kli, or any other kli, a bed, etc., menorah, and do it loosely, it's not called that he's masakin it, he's not fixing it, and therefore it's muta. And that's why in the home of Rab Choma, he allowed it. Continues the next Mishnah. Noisnin kli tachas haner, one is allowed to put a vessel, a kli, underneath a lamp, lekabel nitzoytas, in order to receive the sparks that come out of the lamp. Velo yite nitoichi mayim, but you're not allowed to put water into this dish, in the dish that's going to receive the sparks, bepneishu mechabe, because he is extinguishing the sparks. And the Gemara is going to explain what we're talking about on Erev Shabbos, we're talking about on Shabbos, we'll see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. So first the Gemara is asking on the first halacha, that you're allowed to put a dish under a lamp in order to allow the nitzotzes to fall on top of it. Asks the Gemara, v'hokom mevatil kli mihichonoi. We know that there's a halacha, that anything that was available to be used on Shabbos for something muta, you're not allowed to do something with it that's going to make it unavailable for the rest of Shabbos. Here, as soon as he puts the dish under the lamp, and the dish is going to receive the sparks, and once the sparks are on it, you're not going to be able to move the dish. It's called mevatel kli mechonoi. You are making the kli now unavailable for the rest of Shabbos. And we saw on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph that Rav Chisda says that it's also. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, and we saw this already previously in the Gemara, Nitzaitzas ein ben mamash. Sparks themselves have no substance. Even after the sparks land on the kli is not called that it's a bosses or that it's holding the sparks, and you would be allowed to move the kli again afterwards. And therefore it's not called mevatel kli mehi chonoi. Continues the Gemara, the end of the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to put water into this dish that's going to receive the sparks. Why? So the words of the Mishnah are, because he is extinguishing. Obviously, water is going to extinguish the sparks. Let's see where, what and when this is talking about. Lema tnan stoma kerab yosi. Are you suggesting that this Mishnah is a stam Mishnah? It's a Mishnah without saying who is the author of it, who's saying the halacha, and it's a stam Mishnah Kereb Yosi. Why? To Omar, because we're going to see later on Daf Kuf Chof Amud Aleph a machlekas Reb Yosi v'Rabbonon, and the machlekas is regarding goyrim lekibui. And the story there was like this: if chas v'shalom there's a fire in a home, and you don't want the fire to spread, then there's a discussion, are you allowed to take earthenware vessels with water in, put them around the flame in the hope or in the assumption that the flames may crack the earthenware dishes, the water will spill out and extinguish the fire. So I'm not doing something that's going to extinguish the fire. I'm just a goyrim, I'm a cause, I'm doing something that could cause something else to happen and extinguish the fire. So that's a machlekas in the Gemara. We saw that the Omar goyrim lekibui osur. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to do that. New kalim of earthenware that are prone to crack with fire, and therefore putting them there round the flame is not only going to protect the fire from spreading, but is actually going to cause the pots to crack and extinguish the fire. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's called a cause of extinguishing, and it's osa. So it would seem that our Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to put a dish underneath the lamp to receive the nitzotzos, you're not actually extinguishing the nitzotzos, you're just doing something that's going to cause the nitzotzos to get extinguished when they land in this kli. That sounds like gram kibui and would only be also according to Rabbi Yosi. So we have a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yosi. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, Eimer to Omer Rabbi Yosi b'Shabbos. Be'erev Shabbos mi Omar, if you think our Mishnah is a sugya of gram kibui, as in the case of Rabbi Yosi, the whole machlekas Rabbi Yosi and the Chachomim is only whether you're allowed to put these earthenware pots around the fire on Shabbos itself. But on Erev Shabbos, even Rabbi Yosi agrees, you're allowed to do gram kibui. You're allowed to put the pots, the earthenware pots around the fire on Erev Shabbos, even though they may crack on Shabbos. So he says, are you going to say that the explanation in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi? Eimer d'omer Rabbi Yosi b'Shabbos. Rabbi Yosi only says that gram kibui is osa on Shabbos. Be'erev Shabbos mi omar? On Erev Shabbos it's not osa. V'chiteima hocha nami b'Shabbos. Are you going to say that our Mishnah is talking about on Shabbos? And the reason that you're not allowed to put the water into this dish on Shabbos is because it's gram kibui. And gram kibui on Shabbos is osa, like Rabbi Yosi. V'otanya, we learned explicitly in another brisa that noisnin kli tachas hanir lekabel nitzotzos b'Shabbos ve'ein tzarich leima be'erev Shabbos. Regarding putting the dish under the lamp, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, and it goes without saying you can do it on erev Shabbos. V'lo yitein letoichei mayim mipnei shehu mechabe me'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to put water into this dish even on erev Shabbos because it's you're extinguishing the sparks that are going to land on it on Shabbos. And it's also even on Erev Shabbos. And it goes without saying that it's also to put the water there on Shabbos. So you see explicitly in the Brisa that the issa of putting water into the dish under the lamp is even on Erev Shabbos. So it cannot be that this is associated with Rabbi Yossi on Daf Kuf Chof with Gram Kibui, because there it's only on Erev Shabbos, it's only on Shabbos, not on Erev Shabbos. So there must be a different reason why in our Mishnah you're not allowed to put the water in the dish, and that reason would apply not only on Shabbos, but even to Erev Shabbos. Elo Omer, Ashi Afilu Teim Rabbonon. It could be even according to the Rabbonon of Rabbi Yossi, who say that Gram Kibui is Mutter even on Shabbos, as we saw on Daf Kuf Chof. Over here it's different. Shani Hocha Mepnesha Mekari Ves Kibuyov. Over here, it's possible that if whilst you're putting the water there, it's not just Gram. It could be that as you're putting the water there, you're going to bring the water closer to the sparks, actually extinguishing the sparks with your own hands, not just a Gairam. And since you're causing you're making the sparks extinguish even quicker, it's very, very serious issa. And therefore we said it's asa bechlal to put water into this dish, just to avoid a situation that chas v'shalom, you may end up doing on Shabbos, and not just putting the water there, which once the sparks fall into the water, you haven't done anything, you've just put the water there. But whilst you're putting the water there, you may draw the water close to the sparks, causing the sparks to get extinguished, and that is an act of kibui, which is seriously also on Shabbos. And therefore it says in the Mishnah, don't put any water into this dish, even on Erev Shabbos. And Yemir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we're going to start the next Perek. And for now, Hadron Aloch Kira, Yemir Tzashem, we're going to do Chazara on Perek Kira.